Have your Bibles this evening. Be turning with me over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John writes here, beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Friends, as we read this passage, these words that John wrote down here can be attributed to no other person, to no other man other than Jesus Christ. For we find in him the unique Messiah. But friends, just as much as he is the unique Messiah, likewise he is a unique person. His power, his authority, his might, they cannot be successfully argued against. However, we look at him and we see him pictured also as lowly and the friend of man. We look in our song books and oftentimes we sing the song, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one." Friends, if one were to study other supposed gods in the history of the world's religions, there's no choice but to conclude that those, quote, gods were considered neither lowly nor friendly toward man. When we look at the gods of the Amorites, people served them from fear. When we look at the gods of the Greeks, people served them out of fear. Out of fear of what repercussions there might be. Out of fear of the supposed gods that were able to do these awful things. They weren't good gods. They weren't gods that thought of the welfare of the people. And besides, they were just the imaginations of mankind. But the pictures that they painted of these gods were not friendly. They were not lowly. But gods that were tyrants. But friends, when we look at the one true God whom we serve, when we look at him, we see that he is both and is pictured that way throughout the New Testament. That is, he is lowly and he's friendly toward man. So let's think of Jesus Christ this evening. And let's see him as that friend. Because friends, there is no other friend in this world like the lowly Jesus. Let's notice first of all his friendship. Jesus himself declared it in John 15, beginning in verse 13. We read, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then he goes on and he tells his disciples, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Think about that for a moment. How do I become a friend of Jesus? How does Jesus become a friend to me, friends? He gives that qualification right here. If ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, he says, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Friends, we find Jesus here claiming friendship. He claimed friendship. He says, ye are my friends. He gave them reasons for that friendship. He laid down his life for our sake. Notice again the first part of that passage. Greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. How did Jesus declare His friendship toward mankind? He gave His life upon the cross. So He declared His friendship. Friends, we also notice that He designed that friendship. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Jesus designed this friendship with man. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, Paul writes, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now notice this. This is our theme for the year, friends. The church eternally purposed. Notice what he says here next. "According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Friends, His death is the proof positive of His friendship with man and was eternally purposed within the plan of God. He created this friendship. He designed this friendship with mankind. It was intended from all eternity. Friends, it wasn't that the occasion arose, though unexpectedly, and He decided to die, but He came to earth with the intention of being put to death. It didn't just happen. It wasn't an afterthought. He came to earth knowing that He would die upon the cross. That was in the plan from the beginning. From before the beginning. It was eternally purposed. And friends, not only did He demonstrate that friendship, not only did He design that friendship, but He demonstrated it as well. When we look at the end of the life of Jesus, we see the fateful action of Judas for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. He betrayed our Lord. As we've noticed before concerning the death of Christ, He was arrested without cause. He was tried illegally without accusation. He was beaten without mercy. And He was killed without apology. Friends, in His words, in the words of Jesus Christ Himself, "Greater love hath no man than this. He gave His life for me. And I can take hope in that." But then as we consider Jesus being a friend like no other, we've seen His friendship. Let's notice His meekness. His meekness. Oftentimes when we think of the word meek or meekness in this day and time, what's the first word that pops in your head? Weak. Weak. Friends, let me make this abundantly clear. Jesus wasn't a weak man physically. He wasn't a weak man mentally. And He definitely was not a weak man spiritually. When we look at Jesus, we ought to see His meekness. Friends, His meekness was preeminent. Some might contend that God's purpose in having created man for His service was self-centered. But friends, His deity is due earnest and willing servants. When we think of God, He is almighty. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is all-powerful. He is God. We talked about that this morning. He deserves our earnest and willing service. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, we read there of Jesus, of God, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. However, unlike the parent who brings a child into this world but offers no regard for their well-being, God's creation of man came with blessings attached. From the very beginning, God blessed man with dominion over all the creation. From the very beginning, God intended the eternal salvation of man, even amid His infinite power. God gave consideration to a lowly man, thereby marking his meekness. He still considered us. He hasn't left us upon this earth to fend for ourselves. He's given us His Word all throughout the ages. He's communicated with man. He showed His concern with man, or for man. So His meekness was preeminent. His meekness was purposed. Friends, God knows in His wisdom that in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, Proverbs writer says, "Pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall." God knows that. He inspired that passage be written. And because of this, God determined to come before man meek and lowly so as to have the most effect upon him. Friends, when we think of Christ's meekness, what comes to my mind is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We read in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5, Jesus says, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and a colt the foal of a donkey." You think about that for a moment, my friend. In this day and age, what did a king ride? If he was on an animal, friends, it was a magnificent horse. It wasn't something as lowly as a donkey. Most often, they would be riding in some type of chariot. They would be carried. They wouldn't even have to ride, really. Friends, when we look at Jesus, He came into Jerusalem upon a donkey. A donkey was not the transportation of kings. And yet what we find Christ doing, He humbled Himself so as to come before the people in meekness. He showed that meekness there. But then we look at His meekness, and friends, we realize that meekness was powerful. It was powerful. The result seen because of His meekness at Jerusalem was that in verse 21, in Matthew 21, beginning in verse 8, we read there of His meekness. And the result of that meekness, beginning there in verse 8, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when He was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Friends, how do we see the people reacting to that meekness of Jesus? We find them receiving Him because of that meekness. And His meekness is still a powerful force in the saving of men's souls today. Look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Here's the invitation of Jesus Christ Himself. Again, showing His meekness and His friendship toward man. Beginning in verse 28, we read Jesus' words. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Friends, we have not a friend in this world that can compare to Jesus Christ. You know, when we think of our closest friends, I have many, and most of those friends that I count as my nearest and dearest are from camps that I've been to and folks that I've gotten to know throughout the years. And I know that at a moment's notice, if I were to find myself in trouble, that I could call any one of them as I could call upon any one of you. And know that they would do their best to get to me. But friends, even their friendship, even their care for me doesn't compare to the care that Jesus showed for me upon the cross. And we see that in that invitation that He just offered. Friends, there is not. We have not a friend like the lowly Jesus, for there is none at all like Him. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friend, our question for you tonight is, are you a friend of Jesus? See, Jesus has demonstrated His friendship toward mankind, which means He's demonstrated His friendship toward you. You see, He came to this earth and He bled and He died for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the world. He's given us that gift. He's given us an opportunity to obey His word and be able, friends, to be able to go to live in heaven with Him. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Friends, do you find yourself prepared tonight? Are you a friend of Jesus? And the answer to that question is no, that you have never obeyed His gospel, that you've never obeyed His word. Friends, would you obey it tonight? Do you believe in Jesus? That He came to this earth and bled and died for you, for your sins? Then friends, please, we beg of you, obey His word. Repent of your sin, as He commanded to do in Luke 13 and verse 3. Confess His name before men, as He commanded in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And Paul echoed those words somewhat in Romans 10, 9 and 10. And friends, be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. For it is there that we come in contact with the blood, and it's His blood that He shed for me that washes me clean of my sins. And without the blood, there's no remission. No remission, no salvation. Friends, would you obey His gospel tonight? Are you here this evening having done those things but fallen away? No longer being a friend unto Jesus because you failed to follow His commands. Would you be His friend once more? Friends, won't you come home? Be His. Obey His gospel. Repent of sin. Or friends, if you just need the prayers of the church, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?